My Mechanical Romance by Alexine Farrell Fulmuth. Narrated by Amy Lynn Abelera and Christopher Salazar.
Chapter 1.
Catapult. Belle. Family lore has it that my dad wanted to name me Joy when he found out I was going to be a girl. My mother insisted on Isabel, having already established a taste for saints' names, but thanks to my inability to pronounce the letter S, it got shortened to Bella. Then, because I hated that and refused to answer to it, it shrank down to Belle, which is ultimately a testament to how compromise leaves both parties unsatisfied. To my dad's credit, I'm not a joyless person. Like most people, there are things I love in life. Cheese, being right, the beautiful rarity of a well-timed clapback, and things I don't. The top of that second list? Team sports, being asked what I'm doing with my life, and the faint but harrowing sensation that something critical may have slipped my mind.
"Oh man, I forgot it was catapult day," says Jamie, surveying her kingdom from our lofty perch at the top of the quad. "First project of the year, so cute! All the little physics babies squawking around like tiny frightened birds. Love that," she soliloquies, powder blue nails tapping the can of her dystopian-flavored La Croix. "Where's yours, by the way?"
Crap. Okay, so I know the catapult project was probably definitely in the syllabus, but in my defense, there was a huge essay due in English last week, and I have a quiz this afternoon in statistics plus a group project in civics. And anyway, it's really not my fault my grasp of time is so flawed. Aren't there a million different scholarly articles about the impact of academic stress on teens or something? I'm pretty sure I could find at least a dozen if I really put some effort into researching. I won't, but it's a valid thought, right?
"Isabel Meyer,"
prompts Jamie, who is unfortunately still here and not part of a distressing dream I'm having.
"Your silence is highly suspicious."
I say cleverly. Spoiler, I do not have my catapult. Primarily because it doesn't exist, and secondarily because no miracles have occurred in the last 30 seconds. The only thing currently springing to mind is a very unhelpful slew of obscenities that would cause my mother to make the sign of the cross and then ask me where she failed as a parent. Hot tip, that's a rhetorical question.
"Hello,"
Jamie says, waving a hand in my face.
"Belle?"
"I'm thinking," I tell her, glancing down at my phone screen. Woof, class starts in 15 minutes.
"Excellent," Jamie says doubtfully. "Promising start."
Like all girls who get told they talk like a grown-up from age 6, Jamie Howard wants to be a lawyer. Her career goals involve wearing high-powered skirt suits in Manhattan while barking orders at her associates from a corner office littered with ferns. She's the sort of girl who stalks around campus with determination, practically bowling over anyone in her path, and who laughs much too loudly at anything she finds funny. Luckily, I have been one of those things since she was conscripted to guide me through transfer student orientation 6 weeks ago. "Do you have any, like, tape?" I ask optimistically.
"What?"
says Jamie.
"Tape,"
I repeat. "Do you have any?"
"Belle, I can hear," she informs me. "And not that you've asked my opinion on this, but I don't think any amount of tape is going to help you build the catapult you so obviously forgot to do."
"Allegedly," I correct her. "Allegedly forgot to do. And is that a no?"
"Of course it's a no. Who carries around tape?"
"I don't know. Some people," I say, groping for the strap of my backpack where a more carefree version of me tossed it below the table. "Don't you carry around a mini stapler?"
"Yes, obviously," sniffs Jamie. "But seeing as I'm not a postal worker or currently..."